afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, your business lifestyle coach, and you have arrived at the one place on your internet dial where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today's show is sponsored by the Handmade Beauty Network. You cannot get wonderful, independently made, natural beauty products from those mass market cosmetics companies. You've got to come to Handmade Beauty Network members to get that kind of quality. I hope you'll visit handmadebeauty.com and check out our member directory to find a manufacturer of natural bath, beauty, and skincare products near you. They're listed by state, they're real easy to find, and I know you can find the products that you're looking for at handmadebeauty.com. You know, today I was listening to a radio show this morning as I was driving around, and a show came on about the employment environment today and how Generation Xers and what are called millennials, which are people who are age 4 to 24, now that they're entering the workforce, the differences between the workforce of their parents and the workforce that they're entering right now. And one of the things that the commentators was discussing was how important it is for the Generation Xers and millennials to find work that they term, quote-unquote, meaningful. They're looking for a vocation. They have to make a living, obviously, because they have to eat. But they're also looking for meaning in their vocation. And that is apparently something that previous generations were not as concerned about. We were more concerned, at least according to these commentators, about bringing home the bacon, getting women into the workforce and providing equal opportunities and equal pay and all that stuff. Well, apparently the tide is turning and younger people are more interested in getting work that's meaningful for them. So this conversation went on for about 45 minutes before I had to actually turn the radio off and get out of the car. But I found it very interesting that no one talked about the topic of entrepreneurship. They talked about such things as, for example, how a younger person in their early 20s entering the workforce today finds themselves sort of pitted against the older people in the workforce who have all the fancy laptop computers and all the Blackberries and all the fancy technology that they're asking the younger people how to use, but the younger people apparently in large numbers do not have access to that kind of technology at their job, but on the same token, it's exactly what they've been using in their personal lives since they were younger. And I just find that's a very interesting interesting dichotomy that when they enter the workforce, they're not given access to the kind of technology that they use in their personal lives, and they're expected to do their jobs, while the managers and vice presidents have that kind of technology, but they don't have access to it. Well, that was really interesting. And the premise of the whole show was how these types of workers are job jumping. They're just jumping from one job to another because when they don't find the meaning they want in one job, they just switch to another one. And I just thought it was really lacking in the show, not to mention that not only are they jumping maybe from one job to another, but they're also leaving the workforce so that they can create that kind of meaning in their own business, which allows them to have the kind of meaning that they want in their lives and also generate the kind of income that they want and need to survive. And that's what we are all about here at the Lifestyle CEO Show. And that's why I'm so excited to have today's guest. Vicki Vertel is the founder of The Business Buddha, a business coaching and consulting firm that helps people to get in touch with the spirit side of their entrepreneurial spirit and how they can take their businesses into the mainstream and not only make a real difference and get the kind of meaning that we're talking about in their lives, but also they'll be able to support themselves at the same time. Vicki has a long history of getting in the trenches in her own businesses, and her goal is to make this planet a better place for all of us, one business at a time. Welcome to the show, The Business Buddha, Vicki Vertel.
Hi, Donna Maria. Thanks for having me. I'm very, very excited to be on the show today.
Well, I'm really excited to have you. Now, this whole spiritual side of the entrepreneur is very, very interesting to me, and I want to talk to you about that. But could you just give us a little start off, Vicki, by telling us a little bit about how you moved from a traditional work environment to something that was more defined by your own spiritual side?
Absolutely. My history, it's not the usual track for business entrepreneurs in the traditional sense. I actually started working in medicine, and I have a 23-year history working in traditional Western medicine, particularly in medicine, in surgery, I mean. I always had side businesses going, and if I wasn't launching my own and running my own business doing something completely outside of the medical realm, I was helping friends and family do the same thing. So I was always, you know, I always had this yearning and this desire to have something more. And, you know, it was a very interesting time because I got really good at multitasking. And, it was very interesting with the job burnout that I was starting to feel. You know, hitting your head against the glass ceiling happens in medicine as well. Mm-hmm. And I certainly was there. So, you know, I was feeling stuck. It was really a frustrating place to be, because everyone thinks of medicine as, oh, this is where, you know, you serve and you give back to the community, and it's a really a good feeling, and you make a difference. And medicine in the traditional sense, yes, that's what it is, but it's also a business. And medicine is filled with people that are in this place where they're wanting to give back and really participate in healing somebody, yet their hands are very much tied. So, you know, the running theme, it's pretty prevalent in medicine in general. So I've run into this quite a bit, and I was just not satisfied with, oh, I guess this is normal job burnout, and I'll just ride the storm for the remainder of my career. I made the jump, you know, not in its entirety, several years ago to just do my own business more or less full time. I still am in medicine right now. I teach on a university level. I teach what I do, and it's my way of giving back and handing off tools to my students so they're better prepared to handle a career in medicine. Giving back things that I felt that would have really benefited me. Now I'm in a place where I can hand that off to them.
So you had what would be called like a traditional job in the medical field?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it wasn't just 9 to 5. Working in surgery, you know, you have varying shifts. You have being on call requirements. It's really difficult to have something that's just, you know, just set hours. That's something, you know, that doesn't really happen in the arena that I work in.
So were you a nurse, or was like what kind of what job did you have?
It's called I was a surgical tech, and the field is surgical technology. So you are scrubbed in, and you're assisting with the surgeries, and you're handing instruments, and responsible for the sterile side of things. And so that's what I teach back now. I actually teach those skills.
And Vicki, somewhere along the line, you became a massage therapist, right?
Yes, I did, and that was part of the quest for something with. I love what you talked about at the beginning of the show. It was fantastic, and the Gen Xers and the Millennials, and I actually, I resonate with their feeling of needing meaning and job jumping and that sort of thing. Yet harnessed by being, you know, a boomer, and you have this, you know, loyalty, and I have to work and bring home the bacon. It is a dichotomy that I'm walking around with. So when I decided to find more meaning elsewhere, it was still in the realm of healing and, you know, using my hands and helping my fellow man. So when I went into the massage therapy training, it was a great thing, and it was the ability to run my own business and to have that autonomy and really give back and do my work the way I, you know, by my design, the way I wanted to do it.
Now, Vicki, when you started to become interested in massage therapy and started taking those classes, did you keep your full-time job while you gained that kind of knowledge on the side, or how did you do that?
Yeah, I absolutely did. I was working 40-plus hours a week with a call schedule and all the requirements. None of that changed, and I, on top of that, went to my massage therapy training, which took a year. It was a 750-hour course. So it was a big undertaking, and I really had a dedication to giving, you know, getting something else going in my life that would feed my soul, that really resonated with what I wanted to do.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. There's an article in the New York Times yesterday about the logistics of starting a business while you have a full-time job or pursuing something like you. That's what I did. I have actually interviewed for that article, and for anybody who missed it, it's a great article in the Sunday business section of yesterday's New York Times, Matt Villano's Career Couch installment. But, Vicki, it's really interesting, and I wanted to talk about that to get a show started today because so much of what you offer and so much of what we're going to talk about today is related to exactly what you just described, and that is having a job, you know, making enough money, you know, you're paying your rent or your mortgage or whatever, you're not really, you know, wanting so much for anything, in sort of a tangible sense, but there's this part inside of you that's not quite fulfilled. And it sounds like your journey has led you to a place where you can not only, get that inner fulfillment, but also fulfill your desire sort of in an outward sense to help others by teaching classes and offering consulting services.
Absolutely. And I want to teach back to the entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I want to give them the skills, and I want them to have a place where they can start from. You know, the truth mm-hmm. of the matter is, like you said, you still have to pay rent. You still have mortgages, and thus far, you know, you're required to really stay working at your J-O-B for a while, and I absolutely respect and embrace that and work with my clients diligently on just that is what it is, and we'll move forward. So just taking them down their journey, empowering them with skill sets that will take them to where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. And so it's wonderful that you have a massage therapy background, because I know so many Lifestyle CEO listeners have a background that kind of encompasses some sort of healing art, like aromatherapy or, manufacturing of the natural beauty products and things of that nature. So, Vicki, tell me, what is it that sort of differentiates that kind of entrepreneur from someone who does not sort of have that kind of, need to heal, need to touch the universe in the way that you're describing? What are some of those differences, and how can those entrepreneurs use those differences to their advantage rather than letting them sort of overwhelm them?
What a great question. I would say that all the entrepreneurs that I deal with that I would deem a metaphysical or spirit-based entrepreneur, they have three very common challenges that they're up against. And one of them, the main one, is nobody really knows what they do. You know, they seem invisible. They seem invisible to the world, that they have no idea that they're there and they offer this. The other one is that no one really believes in their services. And this is, you know, this stings to hear this and to feel this, but there are definite ways around it. There's definite solutions to all of these challenges. And when no one believes in your services, they're considering more what you do, that little hobby that you do, mm-hmm. that, those are nice little gift things, but it's not really a serious business.
Okay.
And the third thing is it's very difficult for these metaphysical, spirit-based entrepreneurs to make a decision. Because they generally don't have mentors and they don't have templates that they think would have anything to do with what they do. And, you know, so I deem that analysis paralysis, and they're just not sure where to begin and where to go next.
You know, it's really interesting that you said that. The three things are no one really knows what they do. Once they find out what they do, they don't really believe in it. And then even if you can get them that far, the entrepreneur, him or herself, can't really get off the dime and do something because they're sort of paralyzed by the situation which is brought about by the first two.
Exactly, exactly. And they, you know, I have a lot of respect for the resources of time and money. You know, they're, most people come to this fork in the road where they have a tiny little egg of money and a little tiny little egg of time. And how do you divvy that up? Where do I slice up my time? Where do I slice up my money so that I can get out there and get my business underway? So it's big. These are very real challenges with very real solutions.
Okay, so for that spirit-based entrepreneur, is that pretty much how you define them, that they have a kind of business where, it's hard for them to connect what they do with their potential customers, and then they just kind of aren't really sure what direction to go in, so they don't go any particular direction at all?
Yeah, it's a very tough place to be because, you know, it's kind of wrapped around, well, it feels a little bit like rejection. And it's an uphill battle of trying to convince, constantly convince people of what this is and why it's so good for them. Mm-hmm. And it just, it doesn't resonate with, but I just want to do this to help and give back to my community. I have a consciousness about where I want my life to go and what I want to say in this world. And it seems to you know, not go hand in hand with a traditional business model.
Well, let's talk about helping some people, Vicki, who might be experiencing what you've described, because I do hear what you're saying, and it sounds, you know, I've heard people, you know, sort of talk in those terms before, like, I really just want to be helpful, and I want to do something that has meaning. How do you help that entrepreneur make the connection between combining their desire for that kind of meeting with the practicality of, yeah, hey, you know, that's great, but you still have to make a profit?
Well, that's a great question, too. The first thing that I make very clear to them is that I embrace what it is they do. So they don't have to convince me. And that, by definition, is most of the time the first time that's ever happened for them. So that can be pushed off to one side. That's a done deal. And we move into the practicality of running a business.
Okay, so I want to make sure that we do that. We've got to take our quick break here, and then we're going to come back and talk about that practicality. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show, everyone. We're here with Vicki Vercel, the Business Buddha. And before we took our break, she was just sharing with us some of the challenges that spirit-based entrepreneurs face as they try and grow their businesses. And Vicki, we were just about to hear from you about some of the practical applications that these types of entrepreneurs need to be aware of before they can make their business successful.
So some of the things that we'll just dive right into it, some of the areas that I always identify what needs to be started on before we actually dive into traditional things such as a true blue business plan. You have to actually start with a structure, and it's very important to acknowledge your business for what it is, whether you're an energy worker, you throw tarot, you make jewelry, you're an author. That is, I respect what that is, and I absolutely think that you should, you know, keep that on the forefront, of course, but this, one way or the other, that any way you look at it, it's a business, and you need to have basic structure and foundation that any business would have. So that right there, it's a shift in your mindset in taking this into a more serious arena, but that doesn't mean that you're going to turn into a huge corporation and you're going to go down the road that you just left from that day job or that you're trying to leave.
And Vicki, it doesn't mean, does it, correct me if I'm wrong, it also doesn't mean that you will lose the sort of spiritual quality of your business or yourself by making it practical in a business sense. Do you find that scares some people?
It scares them to the point that they actually don't want to even start. So they don't get out of the gates, and you're absolutely correct with that. One of the biggest issues is a mindset shift. And part of that is just educating yourself. So whether you hire a coach, you start reading books, but you have to shift your mindset into, if I'm reading a book that's a traditional book about, you know, somebody who had a manufacturing company, some of those business models and techniques can actually work for a spirit-based business. In fact, you know, the more businesses that are blooming that have this sort of conscious background running, the better off the entire planet is. So that's, you know, that's the part that we can meld the two. You can take a traditional Western business model and merge it with what it is you're doing. And the mm-hmm. two can marry beautifully. You know, it starts with a mindset shift. You really have to accept that this is still my business. It won't change its integrity. And by pure making money and becoming successful, that doesn't mean that I'm gluttonous or that I've turned into the evil empire of a corporation. It absolutely doesn't. And that, just bringing it out into the open, starts the mindset shift. There's a lot of your listeners right now who are nodding their heads. I guarantee it.
I'm sure of it. Vicki Vertel, founder of the Business Buddha, talking about how spirit-based entrepreneurs can be successful, essentially, without losing their souls. If you have a question or comment that you'd like to call in, perhaps you're struggling with this issue. You have a great business idea, or you've started a great business out of this passion or out of this strong foundational spiritual or belief that you have, and you're struggling with taking the notion of that into a profitable venture. It sounds like the Business Buddha can definitely help with that, and you can call us here today on the show and talk with her live. 800-773-0355 is the number. So, Vicki, once you get someone to the point where they realize their mind has to shift, do you find that that is you know, something that they embrace pretty readily once they realize that, you know, hey, if I don't make this kind of shift, then I'm going to end up back at my full-time job or doing this for free?
Exactly, absolutely. And that's exactly what I propose to them. It's you take a look at what are your options. If you don't make this shift, then you're right back where you started. Exactly. And then showing models that actually work, that are conscious, green companies that have an incredible mission statement that they live and walk their talk, and how they're actually doing the business of actually having a business, making a profit, yet they haven't lost their way. They haven't lost what they believe in. That it shows them that it can be done. It's a huge relief for these entrepreneurs, and they really can embrace who they really are and the mark that they really want to make and still support themselves and their families. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic meld of the two.
And so once they get to that point, what sorts of traditional things do you recommend people incorporate in order to get to the level where they want to be? I know that that's a huge question. I'm sure there's probably tons and tons. But from your perspective and in your experience, and even just in your personal experience with your massage therapy business and getting that to the point where you wanted it to be, and maybe you're still doing that as well as this. I'm not sure. You can tell us that while you're answering this question. But what are like two or three of the main things that need to be done as that mind shift is occurring?
Taking your business seriously means that you have to play by the rules. If you want to launch a regular business in this country, in the rules that we have in our society and our culture right now, you have to play the game. So the legal aspects are huge. And in that is, you know, falls under, you're right, it's a huge subject. But, you know, several categories of, if you want to be taken seriously, then you need to have a serious entity. And so you taking care of business from the ground up will eliminate you going two steps forward, three steps back. So having a proper legal structure, registering your company, getting your federal tax ID number, going to an accountant and an attorney, you know, getting all those ducks in a row properly the first time is a huge, huge step.
Mm-hmm. I read an article this weekend, and the author said what you're talking about and described setting up your business structure as, if you set up a structure, that shows that you respect your business, and in turn, your business will respect you.
Oh, I love that. That's terrific. And it's true. One of the several banking institutes in the area that I went around and actually interviewed with and just got their take on, I wanted to know what it was like on their end when somebody walks into the door and they have a, you know, they've hung up their shingle and they're ready to, they're open for business. And what happens? And they said it's about a 90% rate that they walk through the door and they do not have any of their legal documents with them, but they want to open a business checking account, as an example. And or they might even go straight for the loan. They don't have any of these other ducks in a row, and the bank tells them basically to do an about face and see you when you have all these paper, you know, these papers in place and you're really ready. And I asked these bankers, what was your opinion of these businesses? And they said, you know, that I don't take them seriously and I will probably never see them again. And it's a shame because that was probably a very good idea that they had. So it's about boundaries. It's about respect, absolutely, and it does. It starts with, if you want to play this game, then you need to play by the rules.
And are people just terrified by the thought of, well, it seems like maybe there's two things. It's like, well, I have to use all my savings to hire an attorney and an accountant and set up this business structure, and oh my goodness, what if it doesn't work? Then I'll be out my savings or some significant portion of them and stuck trying to make the business work. I'll have a great business structure, but gee, what do I do if I'm not making any money? Do you find that that scares some people? And if so, what do you tell them?
It does scare them because it's a huge, daunting task, and they don't speak legalese, and that's not what they do. So they really feel at a huge disadvantage. What I tell all of my clients, everyone that passes by me, actually, you know, I tell them to contact an accountant that will give them, you know, 5-10 minutes on the phone and answer a few basic questions. You can get a lot answered over the phone, and from a conversation with an actual accountant who helps set up business entities, they actually will help. They can help do the basic paperwork and pull all that kind of thing off the internet. They can help guide you as to what documents you may or may not need. And
right.
The conversation will probably end in, why don't you come on in and I'll take a look at it. Before you actually walk through their door, you'll know how much they charge and you'll know how long this will take and what you can expect without ever leaving your home.
But
so you've not spent a dime.
Yeah. And do you find that a lot of people just don't know about some of the free resources, like through the Small Business Administration and Women's Business Development Centers, that they just don't know about them? I mean, I often wonder why it is that so many people don't take advantage of those.
They don't know about them, or if they've vaguely heard about them, they think that they don't qualify for whatever reason is in their head, and especially with a metaphysical spirit-based entrepreneur, they think for sure those people, you know, they're going to help somebody starting a coffee cart, not me who's doing massage therapy or aromatherapy. They don't
right,
think that they qualify.
Right, they won't understand the nuances of what I'm doing, and therefore they won't be able to help me.
Exactly. Huh. And so they never try. They never explore that. But, you know, Google is a fantastic search machine, and you can type in what you're looking for, small business resources, and then type in your state. So it would be Small Business Resources California or Texas, and see what comes up. And that will be specific to your area.
Right. Now, I love that you mentioned that, because here's the other thing that I think maybe you might be able to comment on people facing, and that is I type in, you know, Small Business Resources, my state, and I'm hit with 50,000 returns, and oh my gosh, where do I start? I just think that's so funny when you know, Google is such a good resource that you do get so much information. And so in what you're describing, you're saying that people should start with those couple of things, that really setting up some kind of structure so that even if you are hit with all these resources and they're kind of bouncing around in your head, that you have to whittle it down to setting up some kind of structure for your business as one of the very first steps. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying. And when you walk through the doors of any of these entities that will help, that have a lot of free resources, that's the very first thing they're going to talk to you about anyway.
Okay.
So you would have that one further step ahead. You would have that taken care of. This is and those free resources, they will help you walk you through things and point you into the right direction. In the end, you'll end up, you're doing the work. You know, any way you slice it, you're actually the person doing the work, and that's who should be anyway. You want
right.
to be on the very ground, you know, the ground up of developing this business and building it, so you know every nuance that's going on.
I love that you made that point about the business structure first, because I would imagine you get people who are great massage therapists, or, you know, there's no better aromatherapist than the person that walks into your office. And somehow we tend to have confidence in that, but the next step just kind of eludes us in terms of, you know, thinking that, well, just because I know how to bake these wonderful cookies, it means that, you know, if I bake them, people will come buy them.
Exactly. You can't hang a shingle and then, well, you know, build it and they will come kind of attitude. But if you have a proper structure in place and you do it right the first time, then you can, you know, move to the next step. And if that's something that, you know, you're this amazing aromatherapist and you're not a business person, if you have that attitude and you haven't made a mindset shift, then the business is not going to grow. It just
you're not going to be able to portray the kind of image that you need to portray to get the kind of health that you want.
Which is one of the top three challenges of being not being taken seriously.
Yeah.
So it's you know, it's dressing the part, walking the talk, and now you're actually, your structure's in place. You might not be an incorporated entity, but you do have your proper paperwork, and now you have an actual real business checking account. Then the next step would be, you know, the bank, when it's time, if that's something that you're ready for, that bank sees that you've done it all right the first time. You're growing your business properly, they're taking you seriously, and now you've stepped one rung higher on the ladder.
I was talking to a guy once who owns a freelance video camera business, and he was trying to buy some new cameras so he could hire some subcontractors to do some of the video with some of the corporate clients he had. He went into the bank, and he was looking to get a loan to buy this camera equipment, and they turned him down but didn't really tell him why. Just, you know, they really didn't get into too much detail because he kind of felt a little bit timid. Well, he went and set up his business structure, and he walked in with his corporate papers, his tax ID number, and the reception that he got, and this was the same bank, was totally different. And it wasn't just, you know, how can we help you today? He handed over his corporate papers, and they looked at it and said, hello, how are you, Mr. Roberts, today?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I just find that, that's not his real name, by the way, but I just find that so interesting that that's exactly what you're talking about.
And it's critical, and it happens to many, many, many entrepreneurs that they you know, they will have their heart set on a name. Here's a good example. They'll have their heart set on a name, and they've actually made the business cards, and they've started down the road of having a website, and, you know, and they've really, really become heart set on this, and then, but they've never actually registered the name or checked to see if it was taken even.
Mm.
So guess what happens? You know, they get up and running, and then they're liable. You know, they could be liable for the, you know, we're going down a legal road here, but, you know, it becomes a very big snarled up mess. And, you know, this is a, you know, this is heed my warning, and this is my, you know, my gift to all the listeners, just to make sure that this structure is in place before you go to the next step. It's so critical.
Yeah, and I bet we're going to take a short break now, but I bet it's even more critical for women. We're going to come back and talk about that with Vicki Vertel, founder of The Business Buddha. If you have a question or comment for Vicki, you can call it in to us here live, toll-free at 800-773-0355. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, here with Vicki Vertel, the founder of The Business Buddha. And we are talking about how spirit-based entrepreneurs can take advantage of many of the opportunities to be successful in business by simply just by following basic business rules, which may not be, apparent to spirit-based entrepreneurs at first blush. And we were talking about the importance, Vicki, of setting up a business structure and how that can benefit you, for example, if you walk into the bank to request a loan, or even if you go to a small business development center to ask for assistance, just having your structure set up. And I asked you before the break to comment on how much of a difference it makes for women to have this. Are there any differences between the way women entrepreneurs, you know, even just spirit-based women entrepreneurs are treated and the way non-female business owners are treated?
To be very honest with you, yes, I think there is a slight difference. I actually think that you need to be aware when you're a spirit-based entrepreneur and you're walking into such as a banking institute or you're walking in to talk with your accountant that, you know, there's no reason to not dress the part and you're, you know, dress professional. You are a professional and you're taking your business seriously and you wish to be ranked just as high as the next person. The way to do that is walk your talk and having all your ducks in a row. You know, you're as organized as you can be. That's the kind of thing that speaks very loudly. Suddenly, it doesn't really matter what your business is, per se. They're looking at you as the person of the business owner, and their banking institute wants to do business with you because you have your act together.
Right, and they can make money off of you, essentially.
It could be a great, beautiful relationship.
Right, well, I mean, if you can convince them, right, that you can pay back the loan, then, no, it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, and the one thing I do want to bring up is we talked a little bit about this on the break, was, you know, when you walk into the bank and you just want to make a quick deposit or you just need to run into the bank and grab something very, very quickly, you know, you need to be very mindful of how you look and, you know, your appearance and what's going on, because you never know who's watching. That's kind of important to bring up, because I more than one time have run into at my bank, you know, the president of the bank comes out of the woodwork all of a sudden, you know, and phew, thankfully I'm not in my sweats. And so whenever I, you know, I'm not dressed the part and I want to make sure that I, you know, I'm not ever giving off the wrong impression, that I just go through the drive-through. But it's you just need to be mindful of these little tiny details make a huge difference.
They make a big difference. You also have a concept that I think you call team building, or the importance of having a team. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I love this subject. Yeah, team structure is really critical. Here's another thing with small business owners a lot of small business owners think, I'm too small, I don't need a team, I can't afford a team, that's not for me, that's only for big corporations sitting around a huge boardroom table. When in fact, you know, the smallest of businesses needs a team. And the team comes in a lot of different forms. Having mentors, that can be somebody on your team. You have somebody that maybe is working at one of these small business resource establishments. Those people there are actually on your team. you know, you have somebody who helps you with your website. That's one of your team members. It's really critical to have certainly people that you can lean on and delegate to. Gone is that whole model of, you know, the big corporation is the only people that comes in, and they have team building exercises, and they have, you know, they have the big, you know, everybody sits around the table and they dump out all the ideas. That actually, you know, is not just for the big guy anymore. It's for all size businesses.
Mm-hmm. So, and your team can be, as you mentioned, you talked about web designers and accountants and lawyers and stuff, but your team can also include like your spouse or your significant other, right?
Absolutely. And that, you know, that right there, you make a conscious decision if that person is going to be part of your business or not. And if they are, they need to know, and you need to know and be very, very clear about the definition of where they land in your business and on your team. You know, the accountant, that's pretty easy. That accountant helps you with your bookkeeping, and they helped with your taxes, perhaps, and that's what they do. But what does your spouse do? What does your, you know, your neighbor that, you know, is your best friend? What part do they play on your team? And the very best way to start brainstorming on this is just start writing these down on a big piece of paper. Who's on my team and what role do they play? Or what role would you like them to play?
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine for some people, depending on their the dynamics of their family, that can be quite challenging, right? Have you worked with people that really just really want to have that kind of team within their family, but for some reason it just creates new issues?
Yeah, and definitely, and they or the team member wants a bigger part to play on in the business. And, it comes to boundaries, and it really, the lines are very muddled, and it's not very clear. And, and if you're not holding to your own boundaries, whether it's your office hours or whether it's where I conduct my business, then, how do you expect them to behave the way you want them to? Mm-hmm. So, it can become quite the challenge. And there's always a solution. Every challenge has a solution, and it starts with a conversation. You have to open the lines of communication with these people. But before you talk to them, you have to talk with yourself, and you have to really think about where you honestly want all these people to land in your business. And that will help, having a very clear idea of where it is that you want them.
And I would imagine that what you talked about earlier, the mind shift, really comes into play here, because unless you're willing to shift your mind to, run your business in a way that may require you to tell your spouse, hon, I just don't think that this is the best job for you. Then you've got to be able to shift your mind to that before you actually do it.
And it might not happen overnight. This might take a few conversations with yourself and to really have a better, clearer idea of how you will present that to them in a non-hurtful way, very honest way. And then you have to walk your talk. You have to, whether you're in your bank and, you're dressing the part, or you're adhering to your boundaries that you've set up for your business with your family and your friends.
Uh-huh.
It's how they will take you seriously, and it's how you'll take yourself seriously.
Now, Vicki, we've talked about so many things, and we've only been on the show for, 35 minutes, but here's something that occurs to me based on what you're saying. We've been talking about attorneys and accountants and, the challenges associated with having a team, which may or may not include your spouse or your significant other. Do you ever talk with people who hear this kind of overview and then they just are just, it just kind of boils down to how badly you want to own a business as to whether you will actually be able to clear all these hurdles? Because we talked about a small number of the many that are out there.
It comes down to the question that I ask my clients: how bad do you want this?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to answer that question: how bad do you want this? But knowledge is power. I love that line. I use it all the time, and it's really, once you learn a few of these things, and if it still entices you, and you look at needing a team, and yeah, that sounds like something I could do, or I really like that structure, and that burning desire inside of you, that little flame is still burning, that you want to have your own business. You're set in the right motion, and you're set in the right direction.
So it sounds like a lot of what you do too is helping people to not sort of walk in blindly with this idea that, they're really good at, for example, baking the cookies or being a massage therapist, and that they don't get themselves caught up in a situation where they give too much credence to that, right? Because would you say that, being the best cookie baker or being the best massage therapist is some small portion of success in that as an actual business, right?
Right, and you don't have to lose the whole passion and the whole reason you got into this was because you like body work and
mm-hmm.
you want to heal, or you want to touch people with your cooking, and that's the reason that you got into this in the first place. But you have to make peace with the fact that there is a business to run as well. So that segues, it all has a running thread through it, so that segues back to a team. If there's a certain part of this that just really turns you off, the bookkeeping, I want nothing to do with this, or I want nothing to do with cold calls and sales and that sort of thing, you can always add people to your team in very creative ways that won't break the bank, that can help you with that, and you can delegate that away so that you have more time to do what it is that you want it to do. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I'm actually looking at your website right now, which by the way, guys, you need to visit thebusinessbuddha.com to get your copy of Vicki's free report on being a successful entrepreneur while life happens. One of the things that your website says is, are you starving your bank account while feeding everybody else's soul? And that seems to capsulize what you're talking about, is that, you know, I want to make this contribution to the world, which, of course, we can all do through doing volunteer work, if that's what we want to do, or a hobby of our own. But if you have a business, you got to balance that contribution with the need to actually be in the black.
Exactly. And that's just being, you know, very honest and very authentic about the way our world works. And, you know, until we move into, you know, we can trade shells and beads, then, you know, we're looking at a different business model. But, you know, it's just being very honest with the way it is. And I fully embrace, respect, and work with all of my clients that have the day job and they're making a transition. Uh-huh. You know, I don't pretend that that's not happening, not at all. So, yeah, I would love everyone to go to my site. Make sure you put in the word the, so you go to the right site. And
TheBusinessBuddha.com, and tell us a little bit about your free report, Vicki.
It's a free report that embraces all different aspects of running your business and also, you know, really embracing the idea that life is still going on. So there's time management issues. There are, you know, how do you actually do this, running a business out of your home? And, you know, you want the business to be very successful and you have all the best intentions, but, you know, the dog is barking, the kids need lunches packed, you know, the car broke down. I mean, what do you do? You know, it's a little survival guide. It's my gift to the world. So by all means, sign up for it, and it'll be delivered right to your computer.
Yeah, now this is a free report. Do you also have something else, like a newsletter?
Yeah, it's when you go onto the site, you can sign up for my newsletter called The Business Buddha's Big Brain Dump. And it's a monthly e-zine that I send that is just filled with information, resources, and highlighting different things that, you know, that will serve the small business entrepreneur, specifically the spirit-based entrepreneur that you will find of interest. I'm a real gadget geeky girl, and I will profile software and different helpful things or services that are out there. It's different all the time, and I'm very proud of my e-zine. So you'll be subscribed to that.
Yeah, we're talking a lot about a lot of the people that you work with are people that still have full-time jobs, and you probably know about Lisa Belkin's sort of popular coinage of the phrase, the opt-out revolution, a couple of years back, which sort of described women who were opting out of the workforce supposedly to spend more time with their families. The Christian Science Monitor actually has an article that claims to sort of debunk the opt-out revolution, but in terms of, you know, women leaving voluntarily to be with their families, what sorts of things are you experiencing among the people that are coming to you in terms of women who do have the dog barking and the child crying, and they've had a full-time job and made pretty good money at it? What sorts of things are they saying to you, Vicki, about what they want to do with their lives?
They want something that they're giving back, certainly with, you know, raising a family and running a household. They want something that will carry them through until they say that they're done with it. They want something that resonates with who they are, reflects who they are, takes their special talents and their skills, and can give back to the community in a way that will support them. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm. And you're finding more and more, are you not, that they're looking to do it sort of on their own terms and with their own business rather than sort of waiting for the other opportunities to come?
If they've left the corporate world, as an example, whether they left on their own or the job dissolved, that happens more and more to my clients, where it just, you know, the job was there and 30 days later it's not there, and either is their pension. I mean, everything went away. It was just, you know, very, very tragic and scary. And then that's when they have this sort of clarity and calm, and they decide, all right, this is the time. I'm going to do it. It's that coffee shop I always wanted. I want to write that book. I do astrology and tarot. I throw tarot on the side, and I want to do this full time. I have a message to give. I'm doing it. That's it. And that's really the, you know, grit your teeth and let's do this mindset that I find almost with every single client.
Well, great. And like you said, Vicki, now is the time. You know, there's so many reasons in this economy to have your own business, even if you start it as a side business and just do it for 2 or 3 hours a week just to get it started. Vicki, the Business Buddha, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to remind you guys that you can visit Vicki's website at thebusinessbuddha.com, and she has also set up a webpage just for Lifestyle CEO listeners to ask questions that you might not have had a chance to ask on today's show. You can go to askthebusinessbuddha.com, and Vicki will answer your question or respond to your comment in very short order. Thanks for being on the show, Vicki. It's been really, really great to have you.
Thanks, Donna Maria. It's been a blast, and I look forward to talking to all the listeners. So by all means, yes, submit your question, and I will see you on the web.
Great. Well, I want you guys to know what's coming up. We are starting Money Mondays. That's going to be the first Monday of every month. We're going to launch it next week on November 6th with Mary Claire Alvine of Brownson, Ramison, Foxworth. She is an author that helps women learn personal finance issues and how to better manage their money. She's going to be here on our first Money Monday. We've also got a great show coming up on November 13th. Kathy Marshak, author of Entrepreneurial Couples, is going to be here to talk about how you and your spouse or significant other can make it a successful go in a business of your own. I look forward to seeing you next week on our first Money Monday on November the 6th. In the meantime, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. See you next week, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.